This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm James Hattori. Forget painting. Artists have a new medium, living tissue. Life is art in a few minutes.
First, though, the Supreme Court ruled today on the disparity between crack and powder cocaine sentences. The justices ruled that judges do have the option to hand down shorter prison sentences for cases involving crack cocaine. Dahlia Lithwick is legal analyst at Slate.com, also a regular legal analyst here on Day to Day. Hi, Dahlia.
Hello, Madeline.
Well, tell us about the case behind this ruling first.
Sure. This first case involved a guy called Derek Kimbrough, and he was a veteran of the 1991 Iraq War and was convicted of selling cocaine. Now, he should have been given a sentence under the sentencing guidelines of between 19 to 22 years, but he was given a 15-year sentence instead. The judge was doing what a lot of judges have started to do, which is just take it upon themselves to say the sentencing guidelines are far too draconian. There, it is sort of installed permanently what is called a 100-to-1 ratio. What that means now is that you get a mandatory minimum 5-year sentence for trafficking in 5 grams of crack, the same sentence if you traffic in 100 times as much powder cocaine. And there's been longstanding complaints and criticism that that disparity between what you get for dealing crack and dealing cocaine is profoundly infected by a racial bias and by a class bias, and Congress hasn't been able to fix it. So in effect, Kimbrough's judge said, well, I'm going to fix it myself, and I'm going to depart downward. I'm going to give him a lower sentence. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in this case disagreed and said the judge just cannot do that all alone. Today, in a 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court said, yes, he can.
So 7-2, what did the majority say?
It's important to point out that the issue before the court was not specifically the crack cocaine disparity. The issue was whether judges have the discretion to really, really more or less disregard the sentencing guidelines that, as you know, used to be mandatory. Today, on behalf of the majority, Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote, look, it's not an abuse of a judge's discretion if he looks at the facts of the case and then he sort of properly, as she said, honed in on the particular circumstances of this case and then gives a lower sentence.
And the two dissenters, what did they say?
Well, the dissenters have two problems. One, the sentencing guidelines existed in order to sort of get rid of disparity across cases. In other words, judges used to give all sorts of crazy, wacky sentences. There was no coordination between them. The sentencing guideline was supposed to get rid of that. And by making the sentencing guidelines, as Justice Alito said today, just sort of a polite suggestion, what's going to happen across time, Alito said, was sentencing disparities will gradually increase.
And it was Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas in the dissent.
That's right. Alito and Thomas were the dissenters.
And Dahlia, did it even matter that the case before them was one involving crack cocaine versus powder cocaine? Because it seems like they, from what you're saying, didn't really address that issue per se, but just the issue of judicial discretion.
Well, I think it certainly informed Justice Ginsburg's opinion today, but it was sort of an example, a sort of manifest example that the court could really point to of here's where the sentencing guidelines are just way off, that this disparity has existed for such a long time. Congress has been sort of absolutely unable to correct for it. And so this is a good example of judges in the district court simply saying, look, if Congress isn't going to fix this, I'm going to fix it. And so certainly while it's not squarely on the issue of the disparity, it does illuminate when judges may appropriately depart downward.
So what does this mean then, practically, for all the people who are challenging their sentences as being unfair?
You know, the funny answer, Madeline, is it doesn't mean much because the Sentencing Commission had already changed the guidelines to reduce this disparity. And when Congress didn't do much about it, that took effect on November 1st of this year. Now, Congress is currently debating whether to apply that retroactively, and that's a whole sort of separate issue for sentences that happened before the change took place. But I think just in a broader sense, the notion that you can give judges vast discretion, really almost limitless discretion, to deviate away from the guidelines does sort of green light the notion that there's a problem with these guidelines, certainly specifically with respect to the crack cocaine disparity, but in general, that these sort of very draconian penalties that are often too stiff and not specific to the facts of the cases. I think that we're going to see the guidelines really start to become not just advisory, as the court used to say, but just sort of polite suggestions that judges can ignore.
Dahlia Lithwick, legal analyst for Slate.com. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. We'll be right back.